And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm husband to Brenda Swanson. I am a father of five. And Dave Buhner is also in studio with me, another homeschool father of five. And ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of hope for the future. We really do. We have a great amount of hope. In fact, you know, anytime the odds are against us, we know that this is what God really likes. This really works well for him. And especially when the other side has pretty much defined themselves as opposing God's law, we tend to say we're on the right side of this. We tend to say, you know what? Us and God are hanging out on the right side because we understand what God wants, and we want to give him that. Now, granted, that comes by faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. That comes by repentance of our sins and a belief, a trust in God along the way, because there is no way that we can overcome the sin in our lives without God's help, without God's Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, there are some crazy things going on in this country, and granted, the trends are not that good. And we are chronicling the decline of Western civilization. And this is interesting. I think it's very interesting because this ultimately is God's plan, and God is going to have some amazing things up his sleeve, and he will produce some amazing opportunities, I believe, for the kingdom of God, because it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ has made progress nonstop for 2,000 years. So we're not giving up on this. It's a kingdom that will never die. You say, well, American kingdom will hang in there forever and ever. I'm sorry, they never do. They never do. They burn out. After all, you say America is the largest, the most powerful of all the empires since Spain and France and England, and America is the last of the great empires. There's no way that America will ever come to an end. America is the last of the empires, and, friends, it's probably going to go the way of the other empires. They always do. They always do. And we believe we're hanging on to this. And I know that all of the pundits and all the political movers and shakers that are controlling the rise in godless socialism, the godless public schools, and godless homosexuality and so forth disagree with us. And I think we're a bunch of nuts in my basement. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is going to win at the end. He always does. He always does. Because he is on the right hand of the Father. And these kingdoms will try as they may to oppose his rule. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. Oh, boy. Dave, California's a mess.
You can say that again. It's a very messy state.
You know, I lived in California for a while.
I know. And you left.
I left. You know, a lot of people date the beginning of their lives by when they left California. It's like a new life when you get out. California, man alive, coming out of this election, Dave, they went for Barack Obama, hook, line, and sinker. But they got Feinstein and Boxer as senators, and Jerry Brown as governor. They voted him a tax increase as well.
They voted a tax increase.
And I'm sure they're in good shape for that, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you got economic problems? I got a really good idea. Increase your taxes. That'll do it. That'll fix it, huh, Dave?
Yeah, California's election results just add more to their reputation as fruits and nuts. Now, California is a wonderful place. Don't get me wrong. It is the breadbasket of America. The resources, the natural resources there are unparalleled. The coast is gorgeous. The land is beautiful. But it is filled with people who have something seriously wrong with them. They not only voted for Obama and they reelected Dianne Feinstein, which I cannot think of a single reason why they'd want to do that. But surprisingly, the people of California voted down Prop 37, which required GMO labeling. In other words, they're just fine with Frankenfoods coming and, you know, not knowing it. And that surprises me because the people of California are known for a lot of regulations.
Nuts, yeah.
And you'd think they'd want to protect their own reputation for non-GMO produce.
Well, California is the worst state in the nation to do business. I think Texas is the best. Colorado is number eight. Not to remain in that position because Colorado's going the way of California as well. In fact, friends, if you want to know what your state's going to look like in the next 20, 30 years, California's probably a good peak. So take a look at what's happening in California. And the same thing's going to happen pretty much everywhere. Dave, I think unemployment's going to rise in the next 10 years or so. We're going to see a massive rise. This is what's happening in Greece right now. Here's an interesting story from the AP. Apparently, Greece is doing terrible. Greece, of course, is a part of the European Union, and it's been doing badly for a long time. Here's the AP article. a sign taped to a wall in an Athens hospital appealed for civility from patients. The doctors on duty have been unpaid since May, it read. Please respect their work. Patients and their relatives glanced up briefly and moved on, hardened to such messages of gloom. In a country in which about 1,000 people lose their job each day, legions more still unemployed but haven't seen a paycheck in months. What used to be an anomaly has become commonplace, and those who have jobs that pay on time consider themselves the exception to the rule. It's a 25% unemployment rate in Greece, and people say, well, that's all right. America's doing much better than that. America has a higher debt ratio per person than Greece, friends, and Japan's is twice as bad as Greece, which means what? Which means that, yeah, America has a strong economy because we've got a little bit more envy, a little more momentum behind us, but you just wait. You just wait and see what will happen, friends. If Greece is going this direction, America is going the same direction as well. This is the direction America is going, so better pay attention to what's going on in Greece because this is our trajectory. Life in Athens is often punctuated by demonstrations big and small. Rows of shuttered shops stood between the restaurants that have managed to stay open. Vigilantes roam inner-city neighborhoods vowing to clean up what they claim the demoralized police have failed to do. Right-wing extremists beat on migrants. Anarchists beat up the right-wingers, and desperate local residents quickly or quietly cheer one side or the other as society grows increasingly polarized. Our society is on a razor's edge, Public Order Minister Nikos Dendias said recently after striking shipyard workers broke into the grounds of the Defense Ministry. If we can't contain ourselves, we can't maintain our social cohesion, we can't continue to act within the rules, I fear we will end up being a jungle. Private businesses have closed down in the thousands. Unemployment stands at 25%, with more than half of Greece's young people out of work. I wonder what they're doing if they're out of work. Caught between plunging incomes, ever-increasing taxes, families are finding it harder to make ends meet. Healthcare spending has been slashed as the country struggles to reduce its debt. This, Dave, is the vision for the socialist economy that Americans are putting together here. But see, Dave, I don't think America's going to last that much longer. You know, these nations have been propping each other up for a long time. But it's just, Dave, at some point you run out of other people's money. You know that's going to happen. Now, of course, what happens is the parties fight each other. Political parties always blame each other. You got the Nazis, the National Socialists blaming the communists. You got the communists blaming the socialists. You have the Republicans blaming the Democrats. They scream and shout at each other. It happens in America. It happens in Greece. The Obamaites always blame the Bushites. The Bushites blame the Obamaites for what happened. They don't realize that both are to blame. We're all to blame. The whole nation's to blame. The problem is we're all materialistic pigs, and everybody's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And after a while, there's nothing money can buy. And then you've got the breakdown of morality and the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of character and the breakdown of education and all these things. People refuse to say it, Dave. They refuse to say it. But we have found the enemy, and it is us. See, that's the problem with the Greeks. And that's the problem with Americans. They don't realize that the problem is us. There's a basic lapse in faith. There's a basic lapse in character. And I think we have the same thing here. We have the same problem here as the Greeks do.
Well, we have a bigger problem. In Greece, the debt per capita is around $39,000, just under $39,000 per person. That's every man, woman, child, anyone who's breathing. In America, it's much worse. It's $44,000. We're worse than Ireland. We're worse than Italy. We're worse than Greece. We're worse than France. We're worse than Portugal. We're worse than Spain. Spain is doing pretty good at only $18,000 per person, and Spain's about ready to fall. That's how bad the debt situation is under Obama's financial plan. At least one congressional budget committee has said that's going to add another $75,000 per person, which would bring, you know, up to $125,000 per every person. It's even worse if you go to those who are producing age. What's more is our economy is largely based on a strong Chinese economy.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese economy, some economists are saying, is in a bubble right now. It's propped up by government spending and government debt. And when that pops, then you can watch all the dominoes fall.
This could be an amazing domino fall. If you see that big domino fall, friends, if you see Japan fall, if you see China fall, you're going to see the American domino fall too. They lean on each other. If you get one domino that falls, the others will fall likewise. And that's where we are right now internationally. And Dave, what happened with America is we reelected Barack Obama, the guy who continued to increase debt. Now, Romney, you probably would have done the same thing. Now, that was my guess. But here's what he promised America, that he would be more conservative. He'd spend less money, that he would get us out of debt sooner than Barack Obama would. Okay, so that was what he said. And who did Americans go for? The guy who said, I will reduce the budget. I will reduce debt spending more than the other guy. okay, which guy got elected? The guy who said more conservative on debt spending, or the guy who said just spend it, baby, spend it, baby, spend it, baby, to the end? Who do you think America went for in the 2012 elections? They went for Barack Obama because, Dave, they don't care. They're in the process of committing political national suicide. Americans want to become Greece, and they will be Greece in the years. This is their commitment. They will spend their children, their grandchildren's, and their great-grandchildren's money if they can just get another 2 or 3 or 4 years of pleasure out of it. If they can just hang in there for a little longer, they will spend their great-grandkids into debt, and they could care less what happens in the year 2020 or 2025.
Kevin, that's
this is dangerous, Dave. I mean, this is really dangerous. I'm not sure people understand the powder keg that we're dealing with here and the amount of powder in that keg and how short that fuse is. I don't think people understand this right now.
I don't think they do either. And what you're saying is exactly right. We keep kicking the can down the road to further and further generations because we don't love our children.
No.
The ones that we don't kill are the ones we're saddling with this debt. And this debt is amazing. And we don't care about the kids as long as we get the stuff today. What's more is our covetousness extends to the 1%. You know, the rich people?
Yeah.
Barack Obama has said he wants to try and make up some of the budget shortfall by going after the rich people. What do you think happens when you start taxing rich people more and more?
The people who have the ability to capitalize new workplaces and new economies.
Yeah. What do you think happens?
It's more suicide, Dave.
They leave. They leave. They go somewhere else. Right. That's why they got rich, because they were able to make decisions that were good financially. And when you take the good financial minds and you push them out of the land, you're left with a bunch of takers and no makers. And this is where we're headed, Kevin, and we're just going to start stealing some more and more from our great-great-grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren. You know what? Our children and our grandchildren are going to get wise one day, and they're going to start killing off mom and dad before they run up their credit cards anymore.
Folks, you need to read the AP story about Greece. I'm telling you, you got to read the AP story about Greece. Just do a search for the AP story on Greece and how Greece is falling apart, that Greece is starting to find all kinds of fracturing within society. It's dangerous on the streets. Their economy is busted. People haven't been paid for 6 months. You need to read this. You need to understand what it's like in Greece. This is a warning signal. God is good. He gives us warning signals ahead of time. Those who actually care about what's going on in society around them want to plan a little bit for the future. Read the AP story about Greece. The same problems that are happening in Greece are happening here too, friends. We have the same debted Keynesian systems right here, and the debted Keynesian systems are not going to last. We've warned you about this for the last 20 years through books and through radio programs and all the rest. We've been warning you about the debt-based systems that were espoused by John Maynard Keynes, who was a homosexual, who said, don't worry about the long run. In the long run, we're all dead. That guy, who was short-sighted, myopic, existentialistic in his viewpoints, he brought about this amazingly powerful fractional reserve debt-based system, imposed it upon about every developed nation around the world. And this is going to become one of the most spectacular destroying forces I think we've ever seen in the history of countries and nations, and it's going to happen in the next 20 to 30 years, as far as I can tell. The piper has invoiced, my friends. The piper has invoiced. That's right. The invoice is in the in-basket. It's right there. The piper has invoiced, and it's going to be time for us to pay the piper in just in short order. We'll be back with just a little bit more in just a moment on how we react to these things as Christians, as men and women of faith. How do we react to these things? This is important for our children and our grandchildren. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Today we were talking about the character of the nation and what socialism does to the character of the nation. And I think this is the real root issue with the breakdown of these nations. Friends, socialism does no favors. Now, granted, the existentialistic perspective that implodes the birth rates and develops the debt-based systems, that itself is a problem. That is corrosive to any kind of a civilization. We know that. That was a destroy economies, not to mention social systems. But it's, Dave, I think socialism is just as bad as existentialism because it does erode the character of the people.
It subsidizes it.
It subsidizes it. Now, when you got socialism, what are you doing? You're redistributing wealth.
Right. You're taking from Peter to pay Paul.
Right. And so as you are stealing, you're not just stealing from one person giving to another. You're eroding the character of the people. The people are becoming more covetous, more dependent on government, and more lazy as socialism grows. As you go from 110 million people on welfare in 1999 to 150 million people on welfare in 2012, friends, that's a huge increase, first of all. Huge increase under George W. Bush and under Barack Obama. And it arguably could be more people under Barack Obama moved that direction than George W. Bush. Whatever the case, we have 150 million people now in America who are taking their checks from the government. They're more dependent upon the government. They're less dependent upon family. They're less dependent upon fathers, who are supposed to be those that are providing for their own, lest they be worse than infidels, according to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5. People are becoming more dependent on government, they're more lazy, and that's happened exponentially in the last couple of 10, 12 years, preparing America for a situation like what we see in Greece. Dave, the European countries have done this socialist thing for about 100 years. They're more into it than America is. They've got more socialist medicine than America. They've got doctors now out in Greece that haven't been paid for 5 to 6 months, largely because the socialist governments are bankrupt. It's just they run out of money. There's nothing money can buy. They've robbed Peter to pay Paul, and after a while you run out of other people's money. And that's what's happened.
Well, when you rob Peter to pay Paul, Paul doesn't want to work so much. He's more interested in getting his money from Peter.
Yeah.
And that's where he puts all his effort, because that's what pays. Well, it turns out that Peter's not all that interested in giving his money to Paul, so he stops working. Because he doesn't want to work for Paul. I mean, Paul's his lazy nephew who doesn't have a job. Why would he want to work to support his lazy nephew? So you end up with Peter not working and Paul not working, just Paul just trying to work to get Peter's money and Peter trying to work to keep Paul from getting his money, and nobody is doing much. And so the character of the people are eroded. What's more is socialism is a problem because eventually you run out of other people's money. I think Margaret Thatcher said that. There isn't enough of the one percenters. The one percenters don't have enough to pay for the 99%, especially if the 99% are not doing something. It was much better when the 99% were doing something that the 1% would pay for.
You know, I wonder sometimes if America is doing that much better than the Soviet Union. Now, I know we were taught to believe the Soviet Union is our big enemy, and we're always taught to believe somebody else is our enemy. For very odd reasons, usually not biblical reasons, but they both had the same problem. The communists confiscated property. The socialists confiscate property. They redistribute wealth. They all do. They all do that. They all sin the same ways. That the difference between American socialism, the Western socialism, and communism tried to maintain, actually, believe it or not, something of a semblance of family life. They actually had some strong laws against divorce for a long time. Believe it or not, the communists were actually strong against divorce for a long time. People tell me this who come out of the former Soviet Union. They also had a method whereby they were training people to work. I mean, they were sort of hardcore. They used a pretty hardcore system whereby they tried to maintain a discipline in the nation, and they forced people into work. It wasn't all about welfare and socialist system. It was forced government labor programs, and they did it everywhere. Now, again, I'm not in favor of enforced slavery upon a nation. I don't believe that's a good approach. It certainly violates freedom. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But they maintain something of the character of the nation in the process. They maintain something of the character of the family in the process. The communists actually maintain something of a character amongst their people. Now, that's even declined in the last 20, 30 years. My understanding is alcoholism has expanded greatly in Russia over the last 20 years or so. So the character of that nation is in free fall as well. But socialism in America doesn't encourage hard work. Socialism in America doesn't encourage strong families. Socialism in America encourages as much shack up as possible, encourages as much single parenting as possible. Socialism in America encourages as much single moms as possible. Socialism in America encourages as much independence from the family as possible. Socialism in America destroys the family as fast as it possibly can. Socialism in America destroys the character of the nation, destroys the will to work and the will to produce. It destroys just about every aspect of American society, and it is, I think, more corrosive and more toxic than communism was in the Soviet Union over a period of time. Now, granted, the good news is that Christians aren't being persecuted here for attending the wrong church. So there's a difference between what goes on in communism and what goes on in socialist countries to some extent. But some socialist countries are now persecuting Christians for trying to inculcate Christian ideas into their children by giving them a Christian homeschooling preparation. So you've got positives and negatives about all sorts of systems. Personally, friends, I think we've got a toxic system in America that is going to hasten the destruction of this nation, probably faster than you've ever seen a nation destroyed in the history of the world, because you've got this socialist system that is really eroding the backbone of our nation piece by piece. And Dave, with 150 million people on welfare voting, how can 150 people on welfare be wrong when they vote for more welfare?
Well, they can be very wrong. They can be very, very wrong. There's two things that are working in concert together, and they harmonize very well. One is that we are taking money from Peter, but we're also taking Peter's children and the inheritance of Peter's children. When the government says the children belong to us, Peter no longer has an heir. You understand that? The children belong to the state. Peter no longer has an heir. And then they say, Peter, we're going to tax you through the nose on any inheritance you might want to leave to your heir. In fact, we're going to give that to Paul, who has no heir, because Paul doesn't really care about his heirs. Paul's not even probably going to get married, or he's going to get divorced six times, or maybe it's Pauline, and she doesn't have a husband, and she needs some money to live on. The destruction of the family, destruction of private property work hand in hand. Mm. You destroy the family, you destroy private property. You destroy private property, you destroy the family. That is why the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. What does a bad man do? A bad man takes that inheritance and destroys the legacy, destroys inheritance, and destroys the family.
Well, friends, I personally believe that whatever's going on in Greece and the breakdown of the character of that nation is going on in this country as well. So we're not doing that much better than whatever's happening in Greece right now. And Dave, as the East Coast faced some kind of a serious catastrophe, this was, and it turns out, was not the economic catastrophe that Greece is facing, but as they faced the Sandy hurricane that came in and did just about more damage than any other natural disaster has ever done to the East Coast in the history of this country, number one, of course, there was no fear of God before their eyes. There hasn't been a day of prayer and fasting called. This nation is entirely secularist now. It is entirely materialistic and naturalistic and does not believe that God exists or that God has any kind of a supernatural involvement in this world's affairs. And because of that, our leaders have ignored God in all of this, and will continue to see the destruction of their nation because of that. They do not acknowledge that God is a real and present reality and a real and present danger to nations that ignore him and turn away from his law and do the best that they can to avoid his principles. Dave, the reactions to Sandy were actually rather surprising. A lot of Americans look to the state for their solutions. They look to FEMA. They really believe that somehow, and you saw all the interviews, when are people going to come to help us? When is the government going to come down to help us? When is the government going to provide more FEMA housing for us? You know, FEMA needs more money. FEMA needs more funding. Let's run down to the voting booth on Tuesday, and maybe we can vote for Barack Obama so he can bring FEMA in and save us with another, you know, $1.5 trillion in debt. You know, if that happens, then, you know, maybe everything will be fine. Of course, they're turning into a bunch of whiny socialists. They are. I mean, I don't think they have the character to rebuild a nation, do they? Let alone a city. It doesn't seem like Americans have much character left.
No, they don't. No, they're throwing
eggs at these utility workers. I mean, these utility workers trying to put things back together, and they're all a bunch of whiny socialists, you know, yelling at people and throwing things at people, trying to get their way. They sound like 2-year-olds.
And we have utility workers keeping utility working crews from other states out because they don't belong to the union. We have Mayor Bloomberg keeping the National Guard out of areas where there's riots and looting going on because the National Guard carries guns. We have all kinds of idiocy. We have people dumpster diving. We have health food inspectors shutting down restaurants while they're trying to give soup out to people who are starving.
Oh boy.
It is absolute chaos, Kevin. And you compare this. Now, I understand that New York City is a much bigger place than Nashville, Tennessee. But Nashville was hit with some devastating floods, and we didn't hear boo about it. We had people helping people, churches helping, people who didn't depend on FEMA actually getting through it just fine.
Well, I think the heartland is going to be doing better, because remember, the big welfare voters tend to be in the blue areas. In fact, they're almost all in the blue areas. Okay, friends. So I think you're going to see in America the breakdown of character in the blue areas, and you're going to see something of the restoration of character amongst the heartland folks, those who are still raising their kids on the farms, those who are still raising their kids, those who are still having kids. You're going to see, I think, Dave, a division in this country between those who have the character and those who don't. And those who don't have the character are pretty much going to disappear. I mean, let's face it. That's what happens. That's just what happens. People without character can't build nations. People without character will die out.
Well, we know they're not having children.
Yeah.
They're killing off their children. They're not having children. They're homosexuals who don't make children. They're not having children. That demographic will die off. So those of us who are trying to raise children for the glory of God, given enough time, we're going to overcome.
Which means what, friends? Which means disciple the nations. Which means you want people with character and faith? You go teach them the gospel of Christ, which involves all 66 books of the Bible, which involves teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded, which involves teaching them the book of Proverbs and teaching their children, teaching them to teach their children the word of God, and teaching them to teach their children the book of Proverbs as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. You've got to get them discipling their own families. And this is the way we build character to the next generation. We're not saying it's all over for everybody. We're not saying it's all over for everybody in the blue states or the blue cities. We're saying that unless there is some teaching, some discipleship in the Word of God, by way of evangelists and disciplers who are willing to go into those areas and disciple, and unless there are open ears willing to be discipled by these people will disappear. Their nations will disappear. This, I believe, is the only solution. This is the only solution for any country. I'm always getting back to the Great Commission again and again. We are to disciple the nations by teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded, and also, oh, by the way, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So throw that in there, too. All right, friends, that's the commission, and that's the solution. And it will always be the solution. And you may say, well, yeah, but there's almost no churches left on Long Island. There's only like 3 or 4 little churches, and they're barely doing any teaching, barely doing any discipleship. Okay, well, that's a good start. Well, let's just continue. And let's continue to disciple the nations. Let's continue to teach them the book of Proverbs and every other book of the Bible. Teach them the book of Matthew. Teach them the book of Genesis. Teach them the book of Psalms. We've done Bible study guides in all of these books. Go through our Bible study guides if you'd like, because it opens up these passages and provides some applications, some pointed questions, some discussion questions that are important in the discipleship of the nations. Use our Bible study guides if you'd like, or just open the Word of God and teach the nations the Word of God. Teach them to believe in God. Teach them to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, risen from the dead, able to overcome the sin in their lives that's destroying them. Teach them how to live in righteousness according to the laws of God as they love God and keep His commandments. Teach them the Word of God. Disciple the nations and begin with the book of Matthew, the book of John, the book of Genesis, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs. Again, these things available in Bible study guides at our website, kevinswanson.com. I encourage you to teach your children the Word of God. Root and ground them in the book of Proverbs. People have asked me before, how in the world are we going to survive the changes that are coming in the next 30 to 40 years? And my answer is very simple. Teach your children the Proverbs. Teach them the Word of God. If they don't have the Proverbs, if they don't know about trusting in God, not trusting in princes, if they don't know the principles of Proverbs cover to cover, if they don't understand how God wants us to live, if they don't have the principles of Proverbs flowing in their bloodstreams and working out through their fingertips and actually being implemented in their lives, they won't survive, okay? They're going to need the book of Proverbs to survive. That's why we've done a three-volume series on the Book of Proverbs. There are Bible study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, if you'd like any of our resources, kevinswanson.com is the place to go. And we'd sure like to pull together more Bible study guides. So our goal is to bring out more. Our most recent is Matthew, and we're using J.C. Ryle's commentary or his expository thoughts that he wrote for families in the 1850s for that one. Friends, we've got some great resources for families at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.